Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program here. Doing something unusual tonight. A lot of times we cover a bunch of different stuff in one episode of Free Talk Live. But we started out with a pretty generic story by NBC News about this Amnesty International report that's come out, where they've been investigating for years now the detention centers, the torture camps, what the Chinese government's calling re-education camps, in the Xinjiang province in China, where they're putting Muslims and other, you know, troublemakers, not actually violent people, not people who've actually harmed anybody, but people who are making trouble for the state because they're not doing what the state says in every way, shape, or form. They're not following the government's edicts top to bottom. They might still have a religion, for instance.
Or they're just not following with enough fervor.
Yeah, right.
With enough, you know. You can't just go through the motions. You have to be happy.
You're excited about this.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not excited enough. They're getting interned in these camps. And Amnesty International spoke to approximately 55 former detainees about what life was like inside the camps. And they put together a very detailed multi-chapter report. I've linked to it over at social.freetalklive.com. You can read, dig deep into this thing. Like I said, we're just looking at what is considered the executive summary here, and we're going to continue with that. Now,
and that's just sort of the general overview,
yeah,
right?
This is an overview of what is a 9-part, lengthy, detailed report. We've talked about, you know, the fact that they are being indoctrinated while they're there. They can't speak their own language while they're there. They have to speak the official government language of Mandarin Chinese, even if they don't know it. And if you, you're caught speaking another language, you'll be put into punishment, which includes stress positions, some sort of a torture chair, other things we haven't even read about yet, I'm sure, because there's a whole chapter here about the torture in these internment camps.
Do they at least attempt to teach these people Mandarin?
There are indeed classes, apparently, lots and lots of indoctrination classes. In fact, that's what we were about to get into here in this next section. But I do want to say thank you to a couple of listeners for being Free Talk Live amplifiers, folks who help this show get onto more radio stations all across the country through the AMP program. You go to amp.freetalklive.com and you can get signed up like Ukraine79 and Dodger have done. These are silver amplifiers. That means that both of those guys are contributing $5 a month to the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote, and it is a way for you to help us get the ideas of liberty and human freedom all around the planet. You know, we do tend to focus in the United States, but it's interesting to learn about what's going on elsewhere because these things can happen here. And variations of a lot of these things do happen here in the United States. They just don't get talked about a lot.
Yeah.
People sideline prisoners in the United States. Oh, you're in prison? You must have done something wrong.
Well, no, you got imprisoned.
Yeah. And in a lot of cases, you're imprisoned along with a whole bunch of other people who've never harmed another person in their lives, but they were maybe selling some drugs or talking bad against the government or whatever the reason is that they're there.
I mean, speaking of that, I don't remember the guy's name. Aaron Nakamoto's husband? Kingsley.
Kingsley. Yeah, I heard.
Yeah. His father is doing something like 60 years.
In Florida.
In Florida state prisons for selling drugs in order to fuel his drug habit.
A small amount of cocaine, from what I understand.
Yeah,
like, he wasn't even like a big timer.
Yeah, it's just absolutely horrific how the American government behaves towards its own citizens. I can only imagine how bad they really are toward the Iraqi citizens or the Afghan citizens or the ones in Syria.
Did you hear the update on his case where he was denied his parole?
I did.
By the Liberty governor in Florida, the guy that everybody's all like, ooh, this guy's so great. Freedom in Florida. We got all kinds of liberty here. This guy cares. No, he doesn't. He's just another bureaucrat, just another power seeker.
How immoral do you have to be to look at a sentence like that for someone who's already served, like, what, like 25, 30 years?
Yeah, decades.
And say, yep.
Nope,
this needs to go
here.
On.
Yeah, you're going to be staying here. You're going to die in prison.
This is so... That's so inhuman to me.
Yeah, and that's here in the United States. And that's just one story. One of countless stories. So let's get back into what's happening in China. So former detainees describe a consistent pattern of treatment of the detainees by staff and officials in the camps. Some of the treatment reflected patterns of torture and other ill treatment that Chinese security forces have carried out in Xinjiang and other parts of China for decades. Mansour, a farmer, described to Amnesty how he was tortured multiple times in two camps during his time in detention, both during an interrogation and during multiple punishment sessions. Quote, two guards took me from the cell and dropped me off at the room in which I was interrogated. Two men were inside. They asked what I did in Kazakhstan. Did you pray there? What do your parents do? I said I only stayed with family, that I took care of livestock, and that I didn't do anything illegal. They asked me about mosque and praying. If I told them I'd been praying, I had heard that I would get sentenced for 20 to 25 years, so I told them I never prayed. Then they became upset. They said, all that time with livestock, you became an animal too. Then they hit me with a chair until it broke. I fell to the floor. I almost fainted. Then they put me back on the chair again. They said, this guy hasn't changed yet. He needs to stay in the camp longer. Unquote.
And he denied praying.
That's correct.
Which may or may not even be true. I mean, it's horrific if he is so browbeaten by this government that he has to lie to them about whether or not he prayed. But even denying it, they don't care. Interrogation, torture has never been about getting the truth from people. It's always been just about making them confess. Making them say what you want them to say.
So they did teach Chinese, and this was a primary objective of the quote-unquote education that the detainees received in the camps. In addition to language classes, they also reported attending some combo of history, law, and ideology classes, or as many former detainees refer to it, political education. These classes focused largely on forcibly indoctrinating detainees about the evils of Islam and how prosperous, powerful, and benevolent China, the Communist Party, and President Xi Jinping are. Yurlan, a former detainee, told Amnesty he believed the political education classes were structured to prevent detainees from having and practicing their religion. He said, quote, I think the purpose was to destroy our religion and to assimilate us. They said that we couldn't say assalamu alaikum. This is the common greeting and also goodbye in a lot of cases with between Muslims. And they said that if we were asked what our ethnicity was, we should say Chinese. They said that you could not go to Friday prayers. Again, this is common for Muslims to gather together for what they call Juma on Fridays. Christians do it on Sunday. The Muslims do it Fridays. And that it was
Jews
not
do it on Saturdays, I think.
That it was not Allah who gave you all. It was Xi Jinping. You must not thank Allah. You must thank Xi Jinping, Chinese president, for everything.
So all the people who get up in arms when we refer to the state religion as a religion... It's just more blatant there in China.
It's in your face.
It's also here in the United States as well. It's just a little bit more subtle.
Detainees were questioned or interrogated regularly. They were frequently required to write letters of, quote, confession or, quote, self-criticism. You know, like, I'm a bad person. I was praying and I know that that's wrong now. You know, whatever propaganda they've been told, they now have to regurgitate that to show that they've learned what they've been told. In addition to confessing one's so-called crimes, self-criticism, again, was what I just described, writing what the detainee had done wrong, decrying or explaining the education, has enabled them to recognize the error of their ways and to transform their thinking, expressing gratitude to the government for this education and promising not to return to their old habits.
So they were required to basically justify the Chinese government's torture of them. And to thank them for it.
Yeah, and now the Chinese government can point to all these letters from their detainees showing how successful their program is.
Now, thank you for torturing me until I obeyed.
Every former detainee was tortured or subjected to other cruel, inhuman, or degrading punishment or treatment. And then they talk about the non-physical category of torture. And the combination of physical and non-physical means, including in conjunction with the total loss of control and personal autonomy, is likely to cause mental and physical suffering, you think? Severe enough to constitute torture or other cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. I can tell you more about that. And you can share your thoughts as well. 603-283-6160. Like I said, there's a whole chapter about torture in this. You can join us, 603-283-6160. And you can also join us online anytime you want. Download archives that go back for years, all for free, over at freetalklive.com. We're coming up with Ian and Aria on Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Open phones, as always. The number is 603-283-6160. If you want to call in and relate the torturous experience of the detainees in China to maybe your experience in a prison cell and wherever it is you spent some time. Because, again, there's a lot of similarities. Just a lot of people who won't want to admit to it. how similar the United States is to China?
Well, the United States government hasn't yet gone that far, right?
Not yet.
But they will.
But there's a lot of talk about identifying so-called extremists right now.
It hasn't been that long since we had some talking head in the government talking about going after even libertarians.
And they've been putting people from the Middle East into a torture camp called Guantanamo Bay for decades now, with no accountability whatsoever for any of the bureaucrats who've ever run the place, who've ever been involved in torturing the people. There's never been any accountability for any of that. There's horrible stories that have come out of the place. There's attorneys that have gone down there and spoken with the inmates there, the prisoners there. Some of them have been released. Many of them have told their just terrifying stories of torture, and some detained for like 15 years of their lives on no charges. There's been no criminal trial because they've never been accused of doing any crimes. They've just been, you know, held there because supposedly they might be a bad guy.
And even if you don't care about those people because they may be potential terrorists, just look up the sleep deprivation or the unhygienic facilities that FEMA uses to house migrants.
Yeah, immigrant facilities. Absolutely.
They're packed. They're unsanitary. Disease spreads.
Yeah, and they're packing them in like sardines in there. So let's continue here. We're sharing with you from Amnesty International their executive summary, which overlooks 9 lengthy chapters, detailed interviews. All of this was sourced from about 55 people who were detained in these Chinese camps, many of whom are Uyghurs, meaning they're Muslims. But that's not the only people they're putting in here. People with apps on their phone that they're not supposed to have. People who are considered extremists.
People who study abroad.
or have family abroad. And so what happens when you get out? That's what the next paragraph is here. Most of the detainees interviewed by Amnesty were in the camps for between 9 and 18 months. The process to determine whether the detainees were released from camps and sent home is not well understood, including by the detainees themselves. Like the process surrounding the initial detention and transfer to the camp, much of the release process appears to operate outside of the scope of the Chinese justice system or other domestic law. There was a total absence of any transparent criteria or legal assistance and protection. Nothing that former detainees experienced during the time leading up to their release indicated any regard for the fairness or due process required by the gravity of deciding individuals' fates. Detainees who were released were forced to sign a document that forbade them from speaking with anybody, especially journalists and foreign nationals, about what they experienced in the camp, which means the 55 people they found were those 55 who were willing to risk breaking their quote-unquote agreement to not talk about it.
So well, presumably those 55 left China.
Exactly, because there's no way you're going to...
I mean, would you stay there anyway?
If you're going to leave, you better take your family with you, because before you know it, you're going to get a phone call saying, we're going to put your son in this camp if you don't come back. That's what happened to one other lady.
And they probably put your son in the camp anyway.
So take them all with you if you're going to leave. Former detainees were informed they would be interned again in the camp if they violated this prohibition. So if you tell anybody, if you talk to anybody, if we find out that you've been talking about your experience here, you come back for round two. And I bet you they're not as nice the second time around.
They don't sound very nice the first time.
Exactly. After being released to go home, the former detainees faced further severe restrictions on their human rights, particularly freedom of movement. These restrictions were in addition to the discriminatory policies directed at all members of ethnic minority groups in the province of Xinjiang. Nearly all former detainees who spoke to Amnesty were required to continue their quote-unquote education and to attend classes in Chinese language and political ideology after they were released. They were also forced to publicly, quote, confess their, quote, crimes at flag-raising ceremonies.
I mean, this sounds like they took Animal Farm and used it as the script for their government. These forced confessions, these forced letters of obedience to the state.
Well, does art imitate life, or is it life that imitates art, or what?
It's just how tyrannical regimes seem to operate.
All former detainees interviewed said they were placed under both electronic and in-person surveillance and subjected to regular evaluations from government employees and cadres. So it's not like you just get to walk away from the camp. They put you on some sort of monitoring. Like me, I've got a little electronic monitoring bracelet on, and I've never been convicted of anything.
Neither were the Uyghur Muslims.
Nearly all former detainees reported that government employees or cadres... All right, so what's the difference between an employee... They've used the term cadre until now, and now there seems... What the hell's the difference?
I've never heard the term cadre before.
Generally, it's a group of people, and I just looked it up. It's a small group of people specially trained for a particular purpose or profession. So I'm not sure why that's different from employee. Anyway, they were required to stay with them, so meaning that the government people or cadres were reportedly staying with the detainees in their homes for several nights per month after they were released from a camp. So imagine
that's
your probation
a new level of home supervision, man.
Right. Imagine your probation officer just coming on in to stay with you for a few days every month. Because you've got an officer like I do.
And, of course, you have to be happy about it.
Yes.
Because if you're not enthusiastic enough about this invasion of your privacy, you're going back to the internment camp.
Welcome, welcome. Can I get you anything to drink? I'll make you some dinner. Don't send me back.
And you probably would. Yeah, you probably would be fairly enthusiastic if it kept you out, you know.
For at least several months, they were prohibited from leaving their village or township. If they were allowed to leave, they were required to get written permission from the authorities beforehand. That's like me. I have to ask for permission before I can go shopping.
I don't have to before I go shopping, but I have to before I, like, go to
a website
or whatever, or go here.
You can't go to
a website, yeah.
Amnesty interviewed former detainees who were sent from the camps to work in factories. Arzu, one of the former detainees, told Amnesty that after spending 6 months in a camp, he was transferred to another camp, where he was taught to sew in preparation for being sent to a factory. He was then required to live and work in the factory for several months, making government uniforms. These testimonies point to a number of ways in which the authorities in Xinjiang appear to be forcing or compelling Uyghurs and other members of ethnic minority groups in Xinjiang to engage in certain types of labor, sometimes as an extension of the quote-unquote education received in the camps. Now, let's talk about the United States again, where in many prisons they have prison labor, and the prisoners might make things like license plates or other things that might be used by governments or mega corporations, for instance. Here in the United States, this goes on. And
because slavery is legal as punishment for a crime in the United States.
Correct. It's the actual sentences are sentenced to hard labor. That's part of the sentence in a lot of cases here. That was part of my sentence when I was sentenced for civil disobedience.
Hard labor?
That's right. Now, in my case, it wasn't that hard. I was working in a kitchen. But, you know, it's still 8 hours a day of work,
yeah.
And you don't get paid for it. If you don't want to do it, because obviously they can't force you, right? Like, if you're going to go into the kitchen and, you know, break things or...
Well, they could beat you until you wanted to do it.
They certainly could. In the United States, they generally don't do that in most jails. But what they will do is put you in solitary confinement and take away any semblance of privileges that you might have. Like our friend Nobody, who's in solitary confinement right now because he didn't put a broom back where it belonged. Another prisoner apparently attacked him over it. And because he defended himself, which was...
In one of the most peaceful ways he could have.
By bear-hugging the guy until the cops came in and broke him up. They put him in solitary for that. And he can't even have his books. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Search and rescue crews found four more victims in the rubble of the collapsed Florida condominium tower Monday as thunderstorms threatened the area late in the afternoon. The death toll now stands at 28. The additional discoveries coming after the portion of the building that had remained standing after the initial collapse was demolished Sunday night. 117 residents remain unaccounted for. Rescuers say they plan on continuing through any inclement weather, only stopping for lightning in the area. and a criminal group has demanded $70 million in a ransomware attack that may have compromised up to 1 million computers. The attack against Kaseya VSA occurred over the holiday weekend, exposing clients who used the firm's software to remotely perform IT services. Investigators into the attack say more than 1,000 businesses could be affected. The group Revil has claimed responsibility for the attack, offering a universal decryption tool for the ransom. This is USA Radio News. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas will travel to Guatemala Tuesday to meet with members of the Guatemalan government, a month after Vice President Kamala Harris made the same trip as part of her duties to try to stem the flow of migrants to the U.S. border. Former Acting ICE Director Ron Vitello says that working with the Northern Triangle countries is good, but won't stop the surge. He tells Fox News that the root cause of the surge is the reversal of Trump-era policies.
I suppose there's potential there, but the root cause of this surge that's on the border and this uncontrolled pipeline is the reversal of the policies that were allowing people to wait in Mexico for their asylum claims, the accords with the Northern Triangle about asylum reforms. The root cause of this problem, the root cause of the chaos, is because they reversed those policies. Now, working with Guatemala, working with the Northern Triangle on governance and anti-corruption activities, that's all good and well and good, but that's not going to stop the surge that's occurring on the border right now. We've encouraged people to send or bring their children to the border, and the root cause of the chaos is the reversal of these policies.
This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and the number, if you want to join in here, 603-283-6160. We're doing a little bit of comparing between torture, between prison systems, between detention camps. In China, they call them re-education camps, but they're just straight-up torture and indoctrination camps. If you don't believe what the state wants you to believe about loving the state above all else, then you might just get put in one of these things for up to as long as 18 months.
And for people who sound like, who are sitting there thinking, you know, oh, well, you know, it sounds so much worse in China than it does in the United States. Let's just, in China, you could get sentenced to 9 to 18 months in one of these places for, let's say, selling a prayer rug.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, you could get 60 years in prison for selling some cocaine.
This is true. And that's you give one example of one guy in Florida, and there's plenty of examples like that from Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi. I mean, so many of the southern states specifically. The federal government, of course, puts tons of peaceful people behind bars. They put Ross Ulbricht in for two life sentences plus 40 years. And all he did basically was make a website.
And maybe you think all of those are really bad drugs, right? Right. But people are still getting sentences like that for marijuana. People are still serving over marijuana for sentences of 25-plus years.
I think they want to put Julian Assange in for like 100-plus years. 170 years or something like that for allegedly assisting Bradley Manning in in decrypting certain government documents or whatever.
Even though the witness who testified to this, the Icelandic dude, was like, yeah, no,
he
that's
lied.
Not what I said.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
So, there's no shortage to just tyrannical sentences and such. We're talking about how once the detainees, this is from the Amnesty International Executive Summary. We're just scratching the surface of this. This is just the executive summary we're sharing with you here. And And they talk about how the detainees, once they are actually released, and it's not clear why one detainee is released versus another detainee, you know, who knows what the reasoning is.
It's got to be completely arbitrary,
no,
right?
Of course.
They don't want the inmates to know what they can do to actually get out. It's just the whim of whoever overseeing the prison going, oh, okay, yeah, he's obedient enough. He smiles enough as we beat him with batons.
And then once you get out, you continue to be obedient because they're going to be monitoring you electronically. Probation officers will come into your home and stay in your home for some number of days every single month. And you're not allowed to leave the area in which you live without special permission, which a lot of people in probation in the United States can relate to almost all of that, with the exception of the probation officer spending the night. Otherwise, it's all pretty much the same here in the U.S. Detainees were reportedly transferred, some of them, from camps to prisons, like the process of being released to go home. The seemingly related process through which camp detainees were given prison sentences is not well understood. It's also unclear how the release process and sentencing process were connected, especially how or if the prison sentencing process in the camps was integrated with any formal sentencing process outside of the camps. Amnesty International was not able to interview anyone who was given a prison sentence in a camp and then sent to a prison. Amnesty did, however, interview former camp detainees who said they were given sentences that were subsequently, quote-unquote, forgiven. They also interviewed former detainees who said that while they were detained, one or more people in their classes received prison sentences, often apparently for everyday behavior far removed from any type of recognized offense. Many of the former detainees personally knew other people who had been given prison sentences, so they haven't been able to reach any of those people. They went from the camps to the prisons for, you know, some internal violation. Oh, you didn't get in line fast enough, or whatever it is you were told to do. You didn't do it to the arbitrary satisfaction of whoever you're overseeing. Was, and so you just caught a criminal charge for that.
And who knows? And it's not even a formal criminal charge, right? That's one of the issues here. It says, oh, you disappear into the prison system, probably for the rest of your life.
And who knows if anybody even knows that you're there?
Yeah, I mean, there's no record of it, evidently. They just send you to a prison, and the Chinese prison receives a new prisoner. They think nothing about it, and there's no trial date, there's no court date, there's no release date. You're just there in prison.
It then goes on to discuss that there's apparently all members of Muslim ethnic groups are under severe restrictions, even those who have never been sent to a camp or a prison. The brutal effectiveness and tremendous scale of the government's campaign derive from their unprecedented use of surveillance technology, coupled with its ability to make large portions of the population in the Xinjiang province help it execute its will. Because, again, if you don't do what the government tells you to, they'll put you in the prisons. The government relies on a nearly inescapable in-person and electronic surveillance operation designed to ensure the behavior of ethnic minority groups is continuously monitored and evaluated. Ubiquitous government cadres, violent security forces, and non-independent legal system act in concert to conduct the surveillance and enforce rights-violating policies. This is of the people who are outside of the camps. Those Muslims living in the area must be the most, or may be the most, closely surveilled population in the world. The government has devoted tremendous resources to gathering incredibly detailed information about the group's lives. The systematized mass surveillance is achieved through a combination of policies and practices that infringe on people's right to privacy and freedom of movement and expression. According to former residents of the province, the system of surveillance involves extensive, invasive, in-person, and electronic monitoring, including biometric data collection, iris scans, and facial imagery. Invasive interviews by government officials, regular searches and interrogations by ubiquitous security officers, home stays by government employees and cadres assigned to live with ethnic minority families. Got to make sure you're not praying, obviously.
Yeah, well, they don't want you to sneak off to your bedroom at midnight or whatever and offer a prayer that they don't see. If you do it, they want to know about it. They want to throw you in one of these concentration camps for it.
An ever-present network of surveillance cameras, including facial recognition cameras. A vast network of checkpoints known as, get this, convenience police stations. Like a convenience store, but a police station.
The facial recognition is a major problem. That's one of the reasons that we should resist it more strongly in the United States than, you know, people seem to be.
Oh, yeah, they're building this grid right here in the United States.
And Facebook is building it for them.
Yes.
It's building the facial recognition.
Them. Yes. Every picture you upload, every tag that you make in those photos, you're helping build that that AI.
And we already know Facebook is on the prowl for extremists.
Unfettered access.
It's fascism versus, you know, socialism all over again. The U.S. government doesn't have to track down these extremists. It just has to get Facebook to do it.
And the final point here, unfettered access to people's personal communication devices and financial history. We have that here in the United States, too.
Yeah, with these FISA courts.
Look what Edward Snowden revealed in 2013, nearly a decade ago, about how the NSA in the United States can look into basically any computer or phone on, you know, in the entire country. And it's relatively simple for them to do it. Of course, they have your financial history if you use a credit card, debit card, bank account, etc. And that's one of the things that upsets them so much about cryptocurrency, is that even though some of it's public and that the blockchains are publicly accessible, they still don't know a whole lot about who's got what and where, and they can't get a hold of it very easily, so they sure don't like that. There was a whole other story I had having show prep for maybe another night about how the U.S. federal government, some government goon on like some cryptocurrency panel in D.C. is demanding that they be able to reverse crypto transactions.
Well, that runs counter to the whole point of cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I don't like Ethereum, and I prefer
because
Ethereum
Classic.
Because
it can be undone, yeah.
Yeah, they've undone it before in the interest of, you know, saving these big investors money. It's like, well, screw those little people. They can just screw their transactions. But the whole point of cryptocurrency is to give you financial privacy so that the government can't do things like what the Chinese government is doing. That's always been the point. To liberate people, to free them, and, you know, to stop the banks from causing things like the 2007 recession, the great inflation that we've seen throughout the last year that we're going to see going forward into the future, and of course, it pays for the dropping of bombs on people. Cryptocurrency solves all of those problems effortlessly.
Yeah, and that's why they're mad. They want to have more control. They want control over every financial transaction. That's why they're moving towards, likely, they haven't officially done it yet, but they're talking about what's called a central bank digital currency here in the United States.
Well, they'll probably just get Facebook to do it for them, and they'll probably say it's something fair and balanced. They'll probably use some catchy term like Libra or some nonsense like that.
I think they've changed the name.
Oh, have they?
Again.
Yeah.
It was one thing and then Libra, and now it's something
definitely
else.
Definitely not Fedcoin.
That doesn't have a real ring to it. But then again, if it's the government that comes up with it, it probably won't have a ring to it. It'll suck. And we can talk about that, or you can bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live coming up.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. We got enough time for you if you want to join us here. It's not been the most uplifting of shows, but it is a show that needed to happen because, well, not only are the Muslim Uyghurs and other dissidents being tortured in China, in the Xinjiang province, but so are people all across the United States and in other countries around the world. A lot of these conditions are not really that unheard of. It's just that they're big. It's a big deal what's going on there in Xinjiang, and they're targeting a specific group of people, specific groups of beliefs, to try to exterminate their beliefs. And
well, considering the American prison population is like 50% black, I think it's fair to argue that the American government is also targeting a specific segment of the population.
Well, they're certainly targeting drug users, right? They're targeting drug dealers. They're targeting, and now they're talking about so-called extremism. Who knows where that's going to go? And they're targeting immigrants. Lots of peaceful people behind bars here in the United States. In fact, I believe, now I don't know if you can factor in the Muslim Uyghurs because we don't know what the actual numbers are. You have to rely on states to tell you the truth about who they're incarcerating to get these numbers. But according to official numbers, there's actually more people incarcerated in the United States than the rest of the world, from what I understand, each country.
The Uyghur Muslims may change that. I don't know. It's unclear.
That's
like
okay,
you said,
yeah.
We have no idea. But yes, if you go by the official numbers, the United States has significantly higher prison population than anywhere else in the world. The United States, the land of the free, highest prison population.
Yep. And we continue here with your calls. David is on the line in San Francisco. You're on Free Talk Live. David.
Yeah, there are two different angles I'd take this. First is whether or not they're putting them into privatized prisons. That part of the reason why America has such a high prison population is the privatized prisons here. And it's very much a political, economic, you know, if you're going to have robots taking all of our jobs and then you create a prison system that makes people feel guilty about their lives, then it kind of a perfect storm of economics. But the other thing, there was a famous documentary that came out a couple of decades ago. It was by the eminent documentarian Mel Brooks. It was called Blazing Saddles, all about a town that was in the way of where the railroad was going to come through. And if you look where the Uyghurs are on the map, and you look at Marco Polo's trade route of a thousand years ago, it's the exact same area. So it's exactly the scenario of Blazing Saddles that the.
What are you trying to say?
The Chinese government wants to build a road?
It's not just a road. They want to build a whole infrastructure. And what's, you know, I've called before and said...
Hold on. If this was all about building infrastructure, why would they need to re-educate Muslims specifically?
Well, there are a couple of different answers to that. The first is, I do not believe that that China is a communist country. They're a rental ground for sweatshops. And in order to have a...
Hold on. So you just believe they're saying they're communists, but they're not doing communism the right way?
Well, I mean, what's the primary motivation of the communists to get started was because there were sweatshops. And if China right now has had sweatshops
for years... Hold on a
second.
Have you ever... I mean, you're not a young guy, right? So you certainly must have heard of the attempted implementations of communism around the planet over the last 100-plus years, right?
Oh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, the issue of Stalin.
I would also point out real quick that that there aren't as many sweatshops in China as there were, you know, two or three decades ago. And that's part of the reason why they need this prison slave labor from the Uyghur Muslims, is because now we can't just pay people 10 cents a day to make clothing.
Well, what I wanted to know from you, though, David, is, like, what communist implementation out there hasn't had straight-up hard labor in terrible conditions in, quote-unquote, sweatshops, whether they be, you know, owned by private companies or owned by the state, at whatever level of implementation we're talking about? It's all about, you know, the labor of the proletariat and the people and the victory and et cetera, et cetera. What?
Well, if you look at the definition of the corporate state, that's really what Russia is right now. It's what China is right now, and it's what the United States is becoming.
What were you going to say about Lenin?
Well, I wasn't going to say it about Lenin. I was going to say Stalin.
Oh, Stalin.
Stalin was not considered a communist. I've got a great book about him called Out of the Night. By a guy named Jean Valtin, and he was saying that when they were fighting Hitler, all of the communists in northern Germany would try to go to Russia to try to get help, and they would all of a sudden end up dead or in a concentration camp themselves. So Stalin was basically...
Hold on, you don't think communists would put their own people in camps?
When they were fighting Hitler?
They were German.
Well, you got to read the book, but
I've read books about communism in Russia, and they're locking up their own people left and right for all kinds of supposed violations of the party. If you didn't completely, it was Stalin and it was Lenin, dude. This went back to 1917 during the October Revolution.
I'm talking about Stalin specifically.
I know what you're talking about, and I'm telling you that they were locking up their own people before Stalin.
Stalin's kids were famous for smuggling the jewels out of Russia.
No kidding. Every single communist dictator has a bunch of kids with a bunch of money, like fat old Kim Jong-un in North Korea. I mean, there's no shortage.
Corporate state. Yeah, and I'm telling you.
North Korea's a corporate state? Okay, so here's what I want to know. Are you a communist? Would you describe yourself that way?
No, not in the least.
Okay.
But
What do you support? What's your ideal political system?
Well, I'm more like an Indian. I don't even believe money is a valid system. Money is so fake. It changes our... Every day, there are when you start getting into Bitcoin, there used to be eight different factors.
You're going way off the rails here. Okay, so you're against money.
No, I mean, if you start in this world thinking that you've got a standard to go by, and eight different factors are changing every day, whether it's inflation, deflation, hyperinflation, okay. Cost of...
Slow down there.
Yeah.
You're telling me you don't want to have money at all, correct? You want to abolish the concept?
Totally phony. It violates the laws of physics.
It doesn't, but it's not money or the economy or the government or society or anything like that that forces people to earn money. It's the nature of the universe. An organism has to sustain
itself. It's not universal.
It is. And every single organism out there has to sustain its own existence or it dies. Every single one of them.
Yeah, but if money is not going to take care of that.
But I buy food with money every single day. Thereby sustaining my own existence.
The laws of physics say that for every action, there's an equal reaction. But the laws of money say that you could have a reaction plus profit. So that's a perpetual motion machine.
No, the profit goes in both directions. If I sell you a hamburger that, you know, I spent $3 on the material for, you got a hamburger and I got $5.
I valued the hamburger more than I valued the $5, and you valued the $5 more than you valued the hamburger. We both came out ahead.
Yeah, that's action and reaction, essentially.
Look, David, so you want to abolish money. How would people... How would things get made? How would they get, you know, people would be compensated for their efforts? They wouldn't be. So what would incentivize them to do things like make a desk or a pencil or, you know, ice cream or whatever?
Well, first of all, the jobs that are poisonous and dangerous would disappear because you're not getting compensated to do something stupid.
Yeah, that's not answering my question.
That eliminates sewers entirely. It eliminates water treatment. That eliminates a huge number of jobs.
Surprised. You'd be surprised. But
you said it eliminates all dangerous jobs, right?
That's a big part of it. I mean, if the dangerous companies are not going to give you health care, and then they're going to force wages lower and lower and lower, they're trying to kill you.
Okay, would you agree that each from each according to his ability to each according to his to their need?
You know, that gets into an issue of if you're an Eskimo and you have no margin, you can't, everything is on the survival. If you're living in a...
I can't get a straight answer from this guy.
I was going to ask if he could give a straight answer to a question.
You're trying to put a maxim into a place like a desert where there's no margin of error.
First of all, I don't believe in that maxim. That's a communist maxim, and I wanted to see if you would agree with it. But I can't get a straight answer out of you, David. I mean,
you got to talk about the laws of physics.
Well, you wouldn't even answer a simple question about how things would be incentivized to be made.
Newtonian physics about the use of force do not have anything to do with human action in regards to how we associate with one another.
Yeah, and generally people, there's a certain thing called human nature, and generally people want to be rewarded for their efforts in life, and if there's no way that they can be rewarded with a medium of exchange, which is what money is, then we have to be back to the barter economy, and barter doesn't work, because if all I've got's coconuts and all you've got's chickens, but I got a few chickens, so I don't need your chickens, but you want my coconuts, what the hell are we supposed to do? It's crazy. Wish we had more time, but we will tomorrow night, because you're coming back then, tomorrow.
Well, there's Free Air Talk Live.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that, coming up online only.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.